It's Monday, the 5th of October, 1789, early in the morning. As every day, the market women have gathered at the Paris market. The market halls are full as usual. But today the atmosphere is charged. Words of profanity fall, drenched in anger and indignation. Of course, everyone here has heard about the excessive celebrations at the Palace of Versailles. And today, simply no one wants to go to his or her work. As every day, the market women have gathered at the Paris market. The market halls are full as usual. But today the atmosphere is charged. Words of profanity fall, drenched in anger and indignation. Of course, everyone here has heard about the excessive celebrations at the Palace of Versailles. And today, simply no one of the women wants to go to her work. Enough. The voices are getting louder and louder. Those in Versailles have no idea how miserable we are. If the king and his queen lived here with us, in our midst, there would surely be enough to eat. Among the market women is Louison, a young flower seller. She has a soldier's drum and she is beating on it. Up, up, she shouts. And the women follow her. Together they walk to the town hall of Paris. We want bread, the crowd shouts. But Mayor Bailly refuses to listen to them. Then the angry women force their way into the city hall's witness halls. A civil servant is attacked with kicks. And then the women arm themselves. They take cannons, rifles and other weapons. Follow me, shouts Louison, banging on the drum. We want to pay a visit to the ladies and gentlemen in Versailles. And the women follow the drummer in hundreds. Soon they become more, from everywhere, hungry housewives, girls and servants, who had already lined up at dawn for bread and meat in front of the still closed shops, come running and soon the several hundreds turn into several thousands. Armed with rifles, pikes, sabers and axes. Versailles is feasting, Paris is starving, the angry crowd shouts as they inexorably approach Versailles. Over and over again, Versailles feasts, Paris starves. Versailles is feasting, Paris is starving. The shouting fires up the women's determination to speak their minds to the king and his world-weary nobility. It takes a whole 4 hours for the angry crowd to arrive at the royal palace. There, they have long since heard about the angry procession of enraged people and have prepared themselves accordingly. The forecourt of the castle is screened by soldiers of the King's Guard regiments, while the Swiss regiment secures the doors, stairs and the inside of the castle. Tense, the guards wait for the angry crowd to arrive, when they suddenly realize that the procession is mostly women and children. Tension falls from the soldiers. Some laugh, others joke, others even lay down their weapons and all of them look like mesmerized at the ever-growing crowd of women. By now there are about 6,000 of them gathered in front of the castle. Against all expectations, things are quite peaceful. Soldiers share their provisions with the women. Initially, 5 women and 1 man move to the National Assembly on Ballhausplatz, where they present their demands to the members present there. The members of the National Assembly, however, do not feel responsible for the concerns of the women who have been sent and direct them to the king. Riots and protests shape the night that the women spend in front of the castle. In the meantime, several soldiers have joined the women. They understand their situation, they understand how hard life has become in the cities, all those people without work, the famine, the daily struggle for survival. And then there are the aristocrats here in Versailles who celebrate one festivity after another, live in luxury, and don't notice all the misery in the cities. The people have spent a terrible night in front of the castle gates. They are frozen through and the rain this morning is doing its bit to make the atmosphere here more and more charged. The angry crowd pushes against the gate to the forecourt of the castle. They force their way in. Many soldiers have already left the area during the night. Shouting, the crowd pushes forward, forces over the soldiers of the Swiss regiment who are still present. 2 servants lose their lives in the confrontations when the protesting crowd finally enters the castle. Panic seizes Marie Antoinette. She quickly gathers her children, flees from the side wing of the palace and rushes to the central building. There she finds her husband, the king, completely overwhelmed and trembling with fear in the circle of his advisers. She throws herself into his arms. But neither the king nor his advisers have answers, know what to do now. Battle cries rage from the stairs, where the Swiss regiment is trying to repel the intruders. It is Marie Antoinette, who awakens from her paralysis of fear. She takes her youngest son in her arms and walks towards the balcony. Stunned, the men stare after her. But as if the queen had known, the Parisian women in front of the balcony react unexpectedly when they catch sight of their queen on the balcony. The view of the woman with the child in her arms touches them. Anger turns to enthusiasm. Long live the queen. Long live the prince. Soon everyone is shouting at the top of their voices, long live the queen. Drums and bugles sound from the street to Paris, and it is the National Guard, subordinate to the just-founded National Assembly. It is led by Lafayette, the general who fought for freedom and democracy on the side of the colonists in the American War of Independence. The citizen soldiers, who form the National Guard, occupy the courtyards, the stairways and the palace, and General Lafayette approaches the queen, takes his place next to her on the balcony and waves to the enthusiastic crowd. And the crowd is going wild. Raging with enthusiasm, euphoria spreads. The respected general, extremely popular with the people, next to the queen. Now the king has also regained his composure. Although he remains in the background, he now also enters the balcony and waves timidly to the crowd, watching tremulously, as his wife Marie Antoinette and General Lafayette are cheered by the crowd. When the king promises a delivery of food to Paris, the situation calms down. Finally, he agrees to sign the decrees of the National Assembly and to abolish the privileges of the nobility. Wagons and horses are brought in. The king and queen must return to Paris. Some carriages fill up, because now there are also quite a few lords and ladies of the court who want to return to Paris. Finally, the procession starts to move, and in the early afternoon of the 6th of October the return march begins together with the royal family. An unbelievable cheer accompanies the train for a whole 6 hours. There is a fairground atmosphere. The women danced, together with the soldiers, the workers. The procession is led by the National Guard. The citizen soldiers have loaves of bread on the tips of their bayonets and escort carts filled with bread and flour, and even the soldiers of the palace and the Royal Swiss Guard go along with this procession. It is Lafayette himself who escorts the king's carriage and his court entourage safely to Paris. Also accompanying the procession are hundreds of members of the National Assembly. Although it is still raining and the ground is therefore muddy and slippery, the crowd is in best mood and sings, "We are bringing the baker, the baker's wife and the baker's son."